Welcome to It's Your Ego, Stupid, a show lovingly intended for millions of spiritual, intelligent, and imperfect people like you who may at times be led into ego stupidity, a lesser version of yourself and a lesser version of life. This show will give you a much deeper understanding of what ego is, what it's doing to your life, how it can weaken your human and spiritual wellness, and how you can heal in each of these areas if needed. It's Your Ego, Stupid, will heighten your awareness of the intense link between your ego and spirit, your humanity and divinity, and the synergy that can lead to the best version of you and your life. Your host is Dr. Nick Martin, a licensed psychologist who has worked in the clinical, university, school, and private practice settings over the past 40 years, while serving as a therapist, diagnostician, educator, and consultant. Welcome again to It's Your Ego, Stupid, and now your host, Dr. Nick Martin.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Nick Martin, and I want to thank you for listening to It's Your Ego, Stupid. As the intro said, this is a program lovingly intended for spiritual, intelligent, and imperfect people, just like you and me, who may at times be led by our ego into something I call ego stupidity, a lesser version of ourselves, and a lesser version of life. Ego stupidity that is affecting our relationship with our husband, wife, or partner. Perhaps it can be with our son or daughter. Maybe our brother or sister, or even with ourself. Ego stupidity that can make it difficult for us to achieve, to climb this ladder of success, and to experience a sense of purpose and meaning to our life. We can also find ego stupidity happening that makes it difficult to deal effectively with the changes, the adversity, the stressors, and the conflicts that often happen in all of our lives. And finally, ego stupidity that makes it difficult to feel genuine happiness and can often lead us into unnecessary or inappropriate anxiety, anger, sadness, or something I call fake happiness. If things aren't going well or as well as you'd like, you've come to the right place. Because a lot of what's going wrong in our lives has a lot to do with our ego energy, which is often the fuel for ego stupidity. It's often the unseen and the unrecognized source of what's taking place in our life, both humanly and spiritually. And by the way, our difficulties have a lot less to do with how smart we are or how spiritual we are, or the presence of a significant mental illness. These are lessons that I've learned from thousands of people just like you over the past 40 years. You have taught me with your lives, your relationships, and your experiences that unhealthy ego energy is at the root of the stupidity that often plays out in many important areas of our life, areas that I just mentioned, and that can affect our human wellness. You have been my teachers, not any theorists or any particular books or any particular schools of psychology. And by the way, you've also taught me a lot about ego's effect on our spiritual wellness and how it can impact our ability to be the love and the life and the energy God is in our daily lives, as well as our ability to embrace the divine gifts of our life, the gift of being able to create our own life, the gift of our eternal life, and the gift of God's presence within us. These are gifts that anyone and everyone who has ever lived have been given, but may not fully recognize, if at all, due to the nature of their ego energy. Well, it's a brand new day. And the days of living in the darkness and ignorance of what ego is doing to our lives, both humanly and spiritually, are over. My programs will be looking at the vital connection between our ego and spirit, our humanity and divinity, and the link between our human and spiritual consciousness. All of my programs are intended to shine lots of light on this, as well as my website and the various books I've published. Again, I want to thank you for joining me for today's program, which is going to have us look at 10 insights about ego that can promote our human and spiritual wellness. But before we get to that, I want to get started by sharing with you my journey, more specifically the journey that has led me to learn to what I've learned about ego and about you and the impact it's having on our spiritual wellness and our human wellness. Back in 1986, I passed the licensing exam for a psychologist, which allowed me to practice as a psychologist in Pennsylvania. This particular milestone occurred after about 5 years of rigorous study. I was averaging maybe about 5 hours a day, every day of the week, and I was studying numerous areas of psychology. Now, after having done that for about 5 years, constantly looking at psych material, I really did not want to read another book on psychology, and I didn't for 6 years. And that turned out to be one of the best decisions I ever made, because I stopped reading books and I started reading people. And they became the data upon which many of my ideas have been built. As I said earlier, you have been my main teachers. Now, after about 6 years of having gone on this sabbatical, I guess I could call it, I was working in the Mon Valley Mental Health Clinic in Manesson, PA. An idea started to crystallize in my mind. I was working as a therapist and as a diagnostician. And the idea was, it's their ego, stupid. It's their ego, stupid. And what I was hearing was that ego was showing itself in so many different places, in so many different people, in so many different experiences. And I had awoken to that notion. Ego had found me. I really wasn't looking for it. And because I wasn't really looking for anything in particular, it just arrived. And it became like a calling to me, from which I could not turn around and go in another direction. Again, ego had found me. So I had gotten this epiphany, this aha moment, but really that was only the beginning, because the next 14 years were spent trying to get inside ego, meaning, well, really, what is it? And where is it showing itself? When is it showing itself? These and many, many other questions and the answers I received from you are the basis for the numerous ego-related ideas that I'm going to be talking about, such as ego energy and ego power, ego flexibility, ego vulnerability, and ego medicine, just to name a few. It was these ideas that became the basis for my first book, published in 2010, entitled The Ego Unmasked, Meeting the Greatest Challenge of Your Life. That book has been subsequently revised and refined and is now entitled Ego Therapy, A Method for Healing Your Whole Self. But when, as I was working with that material and developing those particular books and those understandings about ego, there was something else important going on in my life. And that happened to involve my spouse of 41 years, and my spiritual mentor, Reverend Dr. Linda Martin. Linda was undergoing training at Delphi University in McKaysville, Georgia, which took place from 2006 to 2008. And that training expanded her awareness and knowledge of matters pertaining to spirituality, spiritual consciousness, and spiritual wellness. And it was about 2006 that we began to meet twice weekly, actually kind of scheduled meetings, to talk about what each of us were learning about matters pertaining to ego and spirituality, because we began to sense that wellness was kind of linked to understanding both of these two areas. And so these opportunities to meet on a regular basis helped us to realize the intimate relationship that existed between the two and the role that each was playing again in our overall wellness. And they became, those discussions, the foundation for our books, Ego Spiritualism and the Two Voices Within, which were published in 2015. Which now brings me up to the present part of our journey, including the publishing of my last book, It's Your Ego Stupid, Fix It to Fix Your Life, last year. And I am also quite thankful, very thankful for the opportunity I have to be on Om Times Radio in order to share what I've learned from you so that you can get the best out of what you and life have to offer. There is a great and sobering quotation from Oscar Wilde, and it appears at the beginning of chapter one of our book, Ego Spiritualism, and it says, "One's real life is so often the life that one does not lead." Again, "One's real life is so often the life that one does not lead." And when I think about that quotation, what I hear in it is that I think our real life is meant to be a great life. But sadly, most people don't get to live it. Are you one of them? If so, we can change that. As I said earlier, during today's program, we're going to be taking a look at 10 ego insights that are the foundation for having a better understanding of ego and ego energy. It is these ideas that can help us to better understand what's taking place in our life, particularly if we seem to be repeating many of the same difficulties, be they within relationships or difficulty experiencing a sense of meaning or difficulty experiencing lasting, genuine happiness. Again, these kinds of difficulties and other ones have their roots in our ego energy. If you had a psychology class or maybe you read a book that touched on ego in particular, or you've got a very limited, you in likelihood got a very limited and a very superficial and often very incomplete description that weakens your ability to understand the extremely important influence that ego is having on your life, humanly and spiritually. And by the way, that's not the fault of those courses or the teachers, because they were really only intended to give you a basic understanding of ego, not everything. Unfortunately, if you got the impression that you pretty much know everything there is to know about ego, well, you're actually missing a great deal about what it's going on and what it's doing to your life. So when we know something about ego, it can be as good as knowing nothing about ego, because what you do know can be misleading, and it can lead you to minimize the effect ego is having on your life and cause you to miss the destructive impact that ego is having, that destructive impact involving what I've called ego stupidity. But over the course of my shows, we're going to take care of that, because we're going to put ego under a microscope, so to speak. And we're going to look at lots of gaps in information and myths that often people have about ego, often weakening our ability to understand ourselves, to understand each other, and even in our understanding of God. Again, we are imperfect, intelligent, and spiritual beings, but our ego energy often overrules that, some of the time or a lot of the time. So now we begin. I'm going to talk about these ego insights, and we're going to start with the first one, a very simple but important one, which is everyone has an ego. Everybody. You, me, your friends, your family. There are over 7 billion people on the planet, and every one of them has an ego. just as we all have a face and we have a brain and we have a heart, we also have an ego. Now, what may differ, or what does differ, is that it's the kind of ego we have, and more specifically, the kind of ego energy that we have. You might be out there thinking, well, isn't ego a matter of how much control, how dominant you need to be or want to be, how much you think you're the best person, that you have the smartest ideas and so on, that's what ego is, and you're thinking probably or maybe that, well, I'm not like that. And because I'm not like that, I don't have an ego. Well, you're right about the idea that maybe you aren't that. You aren't the higher ego or high ego power person that I'll be talking about. But that doesn't mean you don't have an ego, because we're going to say more about the different kinds of energy that ego can manifest itself in, involving power, flexibility, and vulnerability. So the basic idea here is that we all have an ego. It just differs in the energy that it is being. Not all egos are the same, just the same way that all hearts are not all the same, or all faces are all the same, or all brains are all the same. All egos are not the same, but they're still there. They're still part of us. Which now leads me into my next insight, but I see that we're coming up on our first break. When we return, we'll be talking about ego as an energy. You're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid. This is Dr. Nick, and I'll see you after the break.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Did you know that you have the power to change anything in your life? Did you know you can do so even with the things that you've already decided are impossible to change? Come join me, Venus Castleberg, on Outside the Impossible as I interview people from around the globe that have literally changed the things they thought were impossible to change just by using the amazing tools of Access Consciousness. Now airing Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Do you dare to believe that anything really is possible?
Hi, Dr. Nick Martin here. I want to invite you to visit my website, egoandspirit.info, where you can find lots of information on ego and download your free ebook copy of It's Your Ego Stupid, Fix It to Fix Your Life. Also, please visit the shop page, where you can find each of my other books, Ego Therapy, Ego Spiritualism, and The Two Voices Within.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Nick, and you're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid, a program for intelligent, spiritual, and imperfect people, just like you and me. When we went to break, we were going to start talking about the ego as an energy. And that's the second insight, is the understanding that ego is an energy. This is maybe new territory. I think it's a different idea, an understanding ego, understanding the energy that it is. But it's a very important idea, because if we don't come to understand ego and the energy that it is, we're going to have a very difficult time going further in terms of seeing more of how it's impacting our lives, both in a human way and in a spiritual way. So this is in likelihood something you probably haven't heard before. Ask yourself, have you read anything on the energy that ego is and how it, the properties of this energy and how it's affecting people's lives? I can honestly say that I had never seen anything written in those years of reading all that material about things like ego, where it didn't to characterize the energy that it is, that you have taught me with your lives and your relationships and your experiences that it is. So it's an energy. And the energy that ego is has a main purpose, and it's a very, very good purpose. And what is it? To protect us, to help keep us safe, to promote our survival, our daily survival or day in, day out kind of survival in those important life areas like relationships and conflict and stress and so on, as well as our mortal survival. So woven into our being is this entity, ego, which is an energy, and its purpose is to promote our survival. And this energy has an impact, it influences the things that we think, the ideas we think, or the things that we feel, or the things that we do, are connected to this fuel. Let me call it a fuel. And the kind of fuel that you have and the kind of fuel I have, involving its power, flexibility, and vulnerability, will shape and influence impact of what we do with it, how we go about thinking about things and how we go about feeling about things and the way we act or behave in places in our life, particularly within relationships and how we go about communicating with our loved ones and how we go about compromising or maybe not compromising with loved ones and doing other things like showing compassion or creating. All those pieces that are part of building a relationship are often affected by that fuel. And sometimes that can be a destructive kind of experience affecting that part of our life. As I said, this affects the things that we think and we feel and we do. We can become locked into it, meaning we're often can be stuck in patterns of feeling about things and acting towards, say, loved ones or thinking about particular individuals that's connected to the nature of this energy. So it serves as the roots for how we're going to try to survive in this life. In this particular life, we're engaged in an experience where if it's not such a great world, we're surviving rather than living. And hopefully when we are living, our help, when our energy, when the ego energy is in a healthy and balanced place, we spend a lot more time living a lot less time surviving. Sometimes you might hear people talk about they're settling for what less for of what life has to offer. When I hear that, I'm thinking there's something going on in that ego energy that's causing them to settle for less rather than getting more. Also, what can happen is when we start to survive, when the energy, the ego energy, moves from a healthy, balanced place, which I'll be talking about, we start to try to survive in many very different and maybe even what I call ego stupidity related ways. And we start to gain distance from that great life that we are meant to live, a life that we can experience when our energy, the ego energy, is in a balanced place involving the power, flexibility, and vulnerability. So coming to understand and work with ego energy involves getting a deeper and a more diverse understanding of ego and the energy that it is. And nobody has really been talking about ego as a diverse energy, but I will. Because if we don't do do it, we're going to be as ignorant of it now as we were 3,000 years ago, and we'll be 3,000 years into the future. You know, across the path of my readings, and particularly readings connected to the greatest consciousness teachers, those being Buddha and Jesus and Muhammad, I could see that within each of their ideas, when Buddha was talking about the three forms of dukkha, and when his fundamental pronouncement that always suffering, or some may think it means always dissatisfaction, and the discussion of anatta, or when Jesus was talking about being unable to serve two masters, and thinking that he was referring to both an earthly master, that often being ego, or a divine master, that being God. Or when Muhammad was talking about the second meaning of jihad, not the one that people typically think about, but the one that is the second meaning, which is the struggle against one's self, that he was talking about or getting at this notion of ego. Now, they didn't have that word back then. That was a word that was only created in the 1700s, I believe it was in Germany. But that energy was still there, and it was still a part of what they were seeing in the weaknesses and the struggles and the suffering that people were experiencing and living. And as I said, if we don't get a handle on this energy and understand it, we're not going to really engage in any significant transformation of our personal and our collective human consciousness and our spiritual consciousness on our planet. We're going to be stuck in a lack of evolution, as I might call it. The notion of world peace will be as much of a fantasy into the future as it presently is now, and it was back in the past. Which leads me to go on to talking about this diverse ego energy. Now, next week's program, I'm going to talk a lot more in depth about this, but time only permits me to get to the basics here on this. So the third insight is that your ego energy is diverse, and it's comprised of power, flexibility, and vulnerability. Okay, your ego energy is a mixture. It's a combination of ego power, ego flexibility, and ego vulnerability. When we're talking about ego power, I'm talking about your ability to share power, control, or influence in each of the important life areas. Taking relationships as an example, how good are you in being able to share the decision-making, to maybe compromise when you need to compromise in the relationship, or maybe to assert yourself when that's necessary, or to back off a little bit when that's necessary. So that's what I'm talking about, and that's a very quick description of what I mean by ego power. And I'm going to make reference to a concept. I'll call it the volume. What is the volume? Using a scale that 0 is at the very bottom and 10 is at the very top, people with low ego power tend to be at a 0 or a 1 on that scale. They tend to act in a very passive, often helpless, hopeless way in their lives and how they deal with life. They sort of very much into the following roles of life. I talk about roles like victim and dependent and masochist in my book, The Two Voices Within. People who they're disempowered in the way they go about living their lives. And as a result, they don't get to experience the better parts of life, whether it's within relationships or within success and achievement and so many other places. Now, if we go up that volume scale and we get into the middle of the range, or if you have 4, 5, or 6, these are people who share control and influence and power within their life in healthy kinds of ways. They're in a very good place with regard to that. But then if we go up a little further toward the upper end, the 9 or the 10, the high ego power people, these are people who insist on having lots of control. These are the people who think they're the smartest person in the room. Maybe they are overly confident and overly dominant, and they don't often see that. They're unable to really recognize the nature of their energy, so they just do a lot of things in relationships or in how to work with change or deal with conflict that reflect this issue and how they work with it, something that we do talk a lot about. The second component, the contributor, is ego flexibility. And when we talk about that, or when I share my thoughts about that, this has to do with really two things. What is your willingness to seek the truth that you do not know? Do you seek to think to know more about what you don't know? Do you feel that you can learn more things and understand more things? And also, how good are you at being able to let go of the things that you have come to learn are false? False beliefs, false values, false attitudes, false prejudices, false stereotypes. That is what I'm referring to when I talk about ego flexibility. When people are at the lower end of this volume continuum I mentioned, they tend to have problems with being able to open their mind up. They tend to be closed-minded. They tend to be inflexible. They tend to be very rigid in the way they approach truth. They often think they know the truth and therefore do not need to seek it, that they know all the truth, and often think that they must convert other people to the truth. In my book, The Two Voices Within, I talk about people who are racists or people who are sexists, people who are religious extremists, people who are often locked into their version of truth, their version of reality, and are unwilling to open the door to see more of what truths they do not know, as well as to let go of the truth they do know, often false truth. Now, again, if we move up the volume continuum into the middle of the range, the 4, 5, 6 people, these are people who are able to let, they are willing to seek the truth they do not know, and they are also willing to let go of what they have now learned are not truth-related things, faulty values, as I said earlier, and prejudices and attitudes. And people in the middle of this range are really good at growing their mind, the quality of their mind, so that they can experience a real connection to truth, both human truth and divine truth. But if we move up a little further to the upper portion of this ego flexibility continuum, we often have people who are having a difficult time believing what they think, in what they think, in their capacity to think, to know the truth that can exist from within them. They are often seeking the truth from without, and from other people and from other places, which is not a bad thing if the people you're exposed to are the right people talking to you about the right things at the right times. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. Sometimes we run into the wrong people at the wrong times in the wrong places. Some of those people can be our parents when we were younger, who were teaching us faulty things about life and about ourselves. So our ego flexibility connects up with that area. One more component, one more contributor is the ego vulnerability contributor. And this has to do with your ability and my ability to accept and to work with the weaknesses and imperfections about ourselves, as well as those that we encounter in life. When our ego energy is in a healthy place, that 4, 5, 6 area, we are able to accept ourselves. We can accept our humanity. We can accept our weaknesses. And we don't let that get in the way of how we are being in relationships or how we are being in the way we go about achieving and using our talents, or how we could go about managing conflict. But when we start to go toward the lower end of the continuum, we start to become a person, or we are a person who has a lot of difficulty recognizing our imperfections and a lot of our weaknesses. We can be quite oblivious to them. And we're doing it because the nature of the ego energy is creating a distance from knowing the things that we need to learn about ourselves and our human vulnerability, a healthy human vulnerability that's part of our humanity. On the other end, at the top end of what I call higher ego vulnerability, people who are a 9 or a 10, I know this person quite well because I was that person several years ago. I was that person who maybe had difficulty accepting themselves as they are and felt a need to be more acceptable, to perhaps achieve as a way to gaining a sense of approval from myself or from others. And I could go into a lot more stuff, but the issue for me, and I know for many people, the people who are the perfectionist or the person who is the high maintenance partner, persons who may be the traumatized, are people who are often experiencing this higher ego vulnerability energy, and it's affecting the way they are living their lives and the way they think and the way they feel, the way they act, and often it results in, I said ego stupidity can be inappropriate feelings of guilt. You feel guilty about things that you really don't need to feel guilty about. Or for you feel fear and anxiety about things that you don't really need to feel that about, but you do. And it's coming from the energy. So this insight involves the understanding that our ego energy is diverse. I'm going to talk about one more insight quickly before we go to break, and that is that your ego energy can become unhealthy, and it can become imbalanced, as I referred to it, by life circumstances. Life in the form of harmful, destructive, dysfunctional people, maybe traumatic events, environmental circumstances, such as difficulties involving poverty or some of the people we encounter, abusive, manipulative, exploitive people, even inherited or acquired illnesses or diseases or disorders, all of that can place our survival at risk. And our ego energy, because it's designed to help us survive, tries to respond to it. But unfortunately, if it's been stretched, so to speak, it can start to do it in some ways that are unhealthy. And I'll just close by saying that you did not imbalance your ego energy. Your ego did not do that because ego doesn't have an intellect and it doesn't have an intentionality upon which to make that kind of thing happen. And God didn't do it because the love God is would never have put us in a place where life became more difficult and a challenge. We're coming up on our second break. You're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid. This is Dr. Nick, and I'll see you after the break.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, Dr. Nick here. I want to invite you to visit my website, egoandspirit.info, where you can find lots of information on ego, and download your free ebook copy of It's Your Ego Stupid, Fix It to Fix Your Life. Also, please visit the shop page where you can find focused ego meditations that can help you know whether you are truly speaking with your voice in your life or ego is speaking for you.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is gonna help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid, a program for intelligent, spiritual, and imperfect people, just like you and me. As we continue talking about these various ego insights, I want to mention the next one, which is the fifth one, that your ego energy is the main source of the stupidity that happens in our life. It's not our intellect, it's not mental illness, and it's not an absence of spirituality. These can often be the go-to explanations when people are thinking about why things are not happening in their life or some of the stuff that they keep repeating over and over again that they can sometimes realize they need to change, but they just can't. We have enough intellectual ability to think intelligently and adaptively about the things taking place in our life, particularly those important life areas like relationships, or when they're dealing with change or stress. So we're smart enough. That's not the reason why things aren't going where we want them to go when they're not going where we want them to go. And the overwhelming majority of people are not being affected by a mental illness that would serve to compromise their ability to think rationally or intelligently or adaptively into what's going on. So that is not an explanation. And it's not due to the absence of spirituality, because each of us has the love, the life, and the energy God is within us, though our ego energy can cause us to gain some distance from it. So if you're attributing any of the stupidity happening in your life or the stuff that you see going on in the lives of others to these explanations like intellect or mental illness or the absence of spirituality, you're really getting caught up in misleading explanations and you're getting distance from the real cause, which is the nature of the ego energy that you are experiencing. Which leads me to the next insight, that your ego energy shapes the prism or the filter through which you look at yourself, others, life, your thoughts, your feelings and behaviors. You're looking through, I call it a prism or a filter, so that and what you're seeing on the other side of that is being influenced by the nature of your ego power and the nature of your ego flexibility and your ego vulnerability and that energy. When your prism or a person's prism is made up of healthy, balanced ego energy, meaning that you're in that middle of that range, you're a 4, 5, or 6 having to do with ego power, ego flexibility, and ego vulnerability, you're really getting a good impression of reality. You're connected to human reality and spiritual reality and divine truth. There is little or no distortion between what you're seeing and what you're getting an impression of and what's really there. But when that prism is mixed up with or made up of imbalanced, unhealthy ego energy, that's when people start to get a distorted and inaccurate view of reality, but they don't know it. They may engage in what I call positive distortion. They see their thoughts, their feelings, their behaviors in a much more positive light than they truly are. So if a person maybe is a higher ego powered person and they dominate people, they control people, they insult people to get control over others, they think they're a very stable genius or something where they're just kind of, they may see that as good, as positive. Why would I change any of that would be their way of looking at things. Now, when people have a healthier level of ego energy, they can see that truly for what it is, which is inappropriate. You know, not something that's healthy, but to something that's unhealthy. Others may get what I call negative distortion. They start to see things in a more negative light. They might look at themselves and they think that they are not very smart or very intelligent or very capable or whatever. They actually are. I see many people in therapy and I would say to them sometimes, your difficulty is not in your competence. It's in your confidence. You are actually a very capable person who doesn't know it. So this prism that I was referring to, depending on whether it's relating to the issues of power, flexibility, or vulnerability, will create this distorted impression of the way we see life, the way we see ourselves and others. So what we need to do as part of the process is to heal that energy so that we can start to see things in a more reality-based, truth-connected light. This ego energy is often overruling the abnormality. I'm kind of repeating a little of what I said earlier, but it's overwhelming. It's overruling your ability to see the abnormality going on in your thoughts, your feelings, and your behaviors. And this, again, is happening even though you're a smart person. So, for example, the racist is a smart person, and they're not a mentally ill person. And they're not they are a spiritual entity, although they've gained distance from their spirituality and are lacking, or they're gaining distance in their spiritual wellness. But the discriminatory behavior, the discriminatory beliefs and the thoughts that they may get caught up in, they may have a great amount of difficulty seeing them for what they truly are. So we can become locked into that faulty version of our life and about truth, about your life and about others, because up to now, you haven't had an alternative to explain what's going on. What I'm sharing with you right now, you haven't had that explanation. You haven't had that alternative. You probably have been thinking that what I'm thinking is right or correct because I am a smart person. And I am a spiritual person, and I am a not mentally ill person. But in spite of all of that, what's going on is not healthy. It is abnormal. It becomes part of a person's abnormal normal. They see it as normal, but it's actually abnormal. And that has everything to do with your ego energy. And that is an extremely important insight for you to get. It opens a very important door to your life, which up to now has been closed. Which moves us to the next insight, which is your ego energy thrives on consistency. It thrives on familiarity and predictability and the known. So it doesn't change in and of itself. It stays stuck on what it is because it really can't change it. It can't heal itself. That is something that we have to do. So we can be stuck in this energy. Sometimes even when we realize and we're awakening that, wow, maybe things have to change in my life. Maybe I have to change in the way I relate to my spouse or partner or my children, and maybe I need to compromise more. And so on an intellectual level, you might be awakening and saying that stuff has to change, but you can't change it because you can have intellectual insight, but you might not have what I call experiential insight. Meaning you can think good thoughts or better ideas and so on. You just can't be them, at least not yet. You can't live them, not yet. When you can start to really live the importance of compromising and the importance of sharing control in relationships and so on, that's when you really have gotten it, and that's when you are on the road to healing. The next insight. And I want to mention, by the way, that prism I was talking about before, that will not be changed by taking a pill. So sometimes people think answers come from taking certain pills, but the pill doesn't change any of that ego energy. It may think you did, but it doesn't really do that. Okay, going on to our next insight, the eighth one of 10. Our ego energy can impact our spiritual wellness, meaning that it can weaken our ability to be the love and the life and the energy God is. Remember, you're always a spiritual being because we couldn't exist in the absence of God's presence in our being. In order to be, to exist, God must be within us, and God is within us. But what starts to happen is that we can gain distance from our spirituality, and we can become not spiritually well as a result of this unhealthy ego energy. And this can lead us in a direction embracing ego illusions, things like separation from others, or inequality of ourselves to others, or unworthiness of ourselves to others, when we start to get into that place, it weakens our ability to be the unconditional, the connective, the unburdened, and the unlimited love that God is. It weakens our ability to recognize and to honor the presence of God in all life forms, meaning we start to treat life in a very discriminatory way, where some are more worthy of being honored, respected, both within the human species and across the different life species. And we can also have difficulty when our ego energy is weakening our ability to undergo the natural healing and transformation that we were designed to experience when being the energy God is. So our ego energy can weaken our ability to be all of those things, each of those things, as we interact with things in our life. Which leads us to the next insight, that your ego energy is healed mainly by you. Not by ego, not by God, and not by life. Ego can't do it, because ego does not have an awareness of what it is and what it's doing to your life, because it doesn't have an intellect or capacity for intentionality. This is something I hear so much and have read so much that I think is on the wrong track, that talks about how ego is trying to dominate our lives. It isn't trying to do anything like that. To the degree that you may believe the acronym that ego stands for edging God out on an intentional basis, that's wrong. Because ego has no awareness of God. It's an energy. It has no awareness of you. It's an energy. It's just an energy that has no intellect from which to know its purpose and form an intention. And also, God does not work to directly intervene in our fixing our ego energy, even though we can make efforts to draw upon spiritual resources, and they are there, to manifest more of the love, the life, and the energy God is. So when you are engaging in prayer or meditation or service to others or yoga or mindfulness practice and many others, you are making use of spiritual tools as part of healing yourself and working with yourself. And also, life can bring about a positive transformational event, or maybe it brings a person into our lives that can help to shift our ego energy in a positive direction. But generally, they have to be pretty powerful events, and you have to wait for them to come along. So, for example, a near-death experience maybe, or being diagnosed with cancer, I've read about and heard people do some incredible things when they are in a place where oftentimes they say, I started living instead of dying when I got that information. You know, the grace of God working within them, that strength coming to the forefront can happen. But for the most part, we can be on hold waiting for something better to happen, waiting for somebody to enter into our life to transform us or something like that. But that's not good enough. You can do the healing that ego needs with something that I'll now talk about as we work toward the end of the program, which is the ego energy can be healed by you with the use of ego at medicine. Because you are the only one living you. You are the only one living you. When I talk about ego medicine, I am referring to really three things. One, coming to know what ego really is and what it isn't. I'll be doing a program on myths and half-truths about ego in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to share with you the things that we need to better understand about ego, as well as the things that people often talk about, and they describe ego as being, which it isn't. So getting a handle on what ego is extremely important, and to also disavow ourselves of some of the things that it's not. And I guess today the first and most important thing to think about and understand that ego is an energy, and all the other things I talked about connected to that. The second part of ego medicine is tuning into your ego energy, coming to know the power, the flexibility, and the vulnerability of your ego energy. Something you don't need to do alone, because my books and this program are all about that. And finally, being able to replace ego-rooted, non-reality-based thoughts with those which are reality-based. I'll be saying a lot more about that, but the idea is to become more connected to truth, both humanly and spiritually. We have reached the end of today's program. I hope what I've shared with you involving ego insights will serve as a dose of ego medicine. Next week's program, as I said earlier, is going to focus on the diversity of our ego energy and what's happening when the volume level of our ego energy is lower, balanced, or high when it comes to the ego power, ego flexibility, and ego vulnerability. I want to end today's program with this message. The great news is that working to heal your ego energy using ego medicine and by growing your awareness of its symptoms, ego stupidity, insights, and spiritual impact will allow the divine truth in your being to flow and to shine through you and allow you to fully embrace each of the divine gifts. The spiritual part of healing is a given. It's part of your endowment. Divine truth and the divine gifts are part of your heritage that already exists within you. You need do nothing more to be spiritual. You already are. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. You only need to enhance your humanity with ego medicine that all which is available to you is given. Fix your ego to fix your life. Thank you for listening and allowing me to be your servant, and have a great week. And please come back to my next program. In peace and love, this is Dr. Nick saying goodbye for now.